Welcome to this week's message from A New Church. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our website, newchurch.nz. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy this message.
I'm really just going to be presenting to you a real simple message this morning, and it's just going to be a basic Bible study. Because the Bible is very, very clear. As God's people, we are commanded to love each other. And that's like right up there is basically God's children. This is what we need to be doing. But it's one thing to say, we just need to love each other. How does it actually look in real life? How do we demonstrate the love of God? Because it's one of our purposes as a church. It's our purpose statement that, among other things, we are demonstrators of the love of God. It's part of who we are. And that's a real challenge, because it can say, oh, God bless you, be at peace, love you. But really, how does that look like? Because love is a verb. It is a doing word. We got to be we basically need God on the inside, really, as to how we demonstrate the love of God. So this is what I've been thinking about this week. Instead of pointing the finger and getting upset, which I guess we need to be upset with things, actually looking inside of us and really asking God, how can I love people better? In the climate of today, with all the upheaval and all the anger and all the prejudice and racism, because it's huge. It's huge in New Zealand. How can we actually love people well as God instructed us? So that's what we're going to be looking at today. Romans 5 verse 5 says this. For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So one of the reasons why God gave us himself, why God gave us the Holy Spirit, was that we would be filled with his love. And I talked about it last week with Pentecost Sunday, the time of the year where the church, we celebrate the birth of the church, we celebrate evangelism, but mostly we celebrate how the Holy Spirit was given to all people, not just to be with us, but to be inside of us. And we know that as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, God gives us boldness, God gives us passion, God gives us zeal. But one of the reasons why God gave us the Holy Spirit, so that we could actually carry his love into this loveless world, into this broken and hurting world. It's a huge part of why God has given us himself, to love each other. So here's the key verse this morning. And I love this verse. It's incredibly challenging, as with most of the verses that I'm going to be sharing. Romans 12, verse 9. Don't just pretend that you love others, really love them. Don't just pretend that you love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong and stand on the side of good. That would be a really good slogan for us as Christians to actually grab a hold and take ownership of in these times. Don't just pretend you love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong and stand on the side of good. I love another translation, the Passion brings it out this way. Let the inner movement of your heart always be to love one another and never play the role of an actor wearing a mask. Really love people. Bottom line, we just really need to love people, but how do we do that? What does loving people look like in an authentic, genuine, practical way in 2020 with all the craziness going on? How can we actually do that, and how can we do it well? Well, it's a good thing that you're listening to this morning, because the Bible has a lot of instruction, and it's actually 59 places in the New Testament it teaches us or instructs us as New Testament believers, as Christians, how to love. It shows us and teaches us how to love one another. There's 59 one another's or each other's in the Bible. For example, forgive each other, serve each other, care for each other. We're going to be sharing, listening to a few of them this morning. So I'm just going to give you a bit of pre-warning. There's 10 points. So that's a lot of points. It really is. There should be like 5 max, but we're doing a Bible study. We're doing things a little bit different this morning. And my last sermon was 30 minutes plus 5 minutes conclusion. So that's pretty good. So I'm going to be going quite fast through this. But there's 59. I could have had 59 points this morning. That would have been one a minute. But no. We're going to be just 10. So the first of all, here we go. Number one, accept each other. Romans 15 verse 5. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you to live in complete harmony with each other. each with the attitude of Christ Jesus towards each other, then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7, so accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, then God will be glorified. We love glorifying God, and we do it mostly when you think, how do I glorify God? We praise God, we worship Him, we pray to Him. But this is a big part to do with it. How do we glorify God? By accepting one another. And it's not simply just accepting one another, it shows us how or why. Accepting each other as Christ Jesus has Jesus accepted us. This is how we glorify God. So I've got a question for all of us. How did Jesus accept us? How did we come to Jesus? When we came with all of our addictions and all of our brokenness and all of our issues and all of our anger and all of our disappointment and all of that, all of our baggage, all of our sin, how did Jesus accept us? How do we come to Him? Just as we were. Isn't that incredible? Jesus accepted us. In that place, we didn't have to clean ourselves up before Jesus accepted us, because we can't clean ourselves up. Have you ever seen a two-year-old child change its own nappy? No. I mean, they couldn't even do it. You know, we can't clean up ourselves. We can never get rid of the sin. So we need to come to Jesus just as we are. And Jesus, because He is so amazing, He invites us and welcomes us with arms wide open. And that is how we are to accept each other. But because Jesus is so amazing, He starts the process of sanctification in our lives. And we see this very powerfully when there was a woman, she was caught sleeping with someone else who was married, and all the legalistic religious people, the Pharisees, and they grabbed her and they were going to stone her. And Jesus said, okay, you guys can stone her, but it's the person that is without any sin in their own lives, just so that you don't want to be a hypocrite, you can stone her first. And none of them could. There was no one left. And Jesus said something incredible, and I love this. He basically said, I don't condemn you either. In other words, I accept you. I forgive you. And He said, go and sin no more. See, Jesus accepts us just as we are, but He loves us too much to leave us that way. Robert Jewett says this, unconditional acceptance does not mean that one is allowed to stay in the same place, but that one is accepted where they are at and throughout the journey of being conformed into the image of the Son. And it's just so heartbreaking that so many people won't come into a church because they feel like they're not good enough to come into a church. They feel like people are going to judge them, they need to clean up their own lives before they come into church. And it's so heartbreaking because we just need to come as we are, just as we are, and accept people where they're at. And yeah, we need to work on stuff, but let the Holy Spirit do that in a person's life. Accept each other. How do we love someone genuinely and authentically? Number one, just accept them. Number two, serve each other. Galatians 5 verse 13, for you have been called to live in freedom, not freedom to satisfy your sinful nature, but freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law in one simple line, love your neighbor as yourself. Serve each other. Use our freedom to serve each other. I just find that incredible. The whole law sounds really complicated, down to one thing. Just love your neighbor. Treat others as you would truly like to be treated. Respect others. Honor others as you would like to be treated and honored. And to serve one another. That's why I love, I think it's really great to get on service teams, because we can then start to use our gifts and our talents that God's given us, whether it be administration or hospitality, or just that you love each other so well. And we can do that on service teams on a Sunday, but it shouldn't just be here once a month. It should be a lifestyle. And for those of you guys that serve, thank you so much. Those of you that, guys that have been doing this two services, I think it's Mike and Shah, you're here for the second service, and other people, thank you so much. You guys are such an amazing blessing to so many people. Serve each other, but the verse doesn't stop there, which is really unfortunate. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 15, but instead of showing love amongst yourselves, you are always biting and devouring one another. Watch out. Beware of destroying
one another. This is like the ultimate downer of a really encouragement portion of Scripture. It's like, this is how we serve and this is how we love. And it says, just be watch out now, because you guys are really good at devouring each other. And I just find that so heartbreaking. Now, never in the Word of God does it say that we need to criticize one another and accuse one another and pull each other's people down and write blog posts about each other and you know, Facebook screeds of writing, pulling each and accusing each other. You know that the devil's called the accuser of the brethren? So we just got to be really careful that we don't do the devil's job for him. And it's so easy when we need to really actually start to disagree with people well. I don't think we do that very good, a lot of us. Because we want to correct and we want to bring our point of view and we want to say, no, you're wrong. And I just, for one, I really need to stop myself and check myself now, because I'd rather, and the Bible says, Simon, you got to love people better. And that doesn't mean to accuse people and pull them down. And secondly, man, I just don't have the time anymore. I'm looking after my own issues and looking after the church. But yeah, let's just serve each other. Let's be careful not to be those that think it's our ministry to start pulling other people down. Well, accept each other, serve each other. Number three, be patient with each other. Ephesians 4 verse 2, be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Be humble, be gentle, be patient with each other, making allowance. Note that it doesn't say fix each other's faults. And we're so good at wanting to fix it, especially us guys. And, you know, I tend to do this with Christian. We've been married, almost 24 years or so? 25 next year. Christy's talking to me about something, and I just want to we've got to do this and try and fix the situation. I think it's us guys. Is it just us guys, women, or is it girls as well, that want to just try and fix the situation? You just want to fix it. You want to, this is what you do, number one, number two, number three, and it's all fixed, and there we go, I can do something else. We always want to try and fix people, but the Bible actually doesn't say that. It says make allowance for each other's faults, which is so much different. Why? Because we are all on a different part of the journey of becoming Christ-like. We've given our lives to Jesus, and that means we start to spend our lives with him, and you become like those you spend time with the most. So if you're a 50-year-old Christian, you're probably going to look a lot more like Jesus than a one-week-old Christian, right? True. And you're probably going to think a lot differently in your habits and the way you do life is probably going to be a lot different. We dare not, as older, mature Christians, judge someone who is just a baby Christian. But we try and do that. We're all on the same journey, but we're at different stages of maturity of that journey with Jesus. So we got to be patient and make allowance for each other's faults, not try and fix them. And so often, you know, you listen to someone and you think, you know, you should actually just stop talking, because, and I think, okay, do I need to correct them right now, and do I need to try and fix them? And a lot of the time now, God's just saying, yeah, just pray for them, Simon. You were much worse than that when you were when you were back in the young days. So serve each other, be patient with each other, make allowance. It doesn't mean there is a place for correction. There is a place for mentoring and coaching, absolutely. But convincing someone is a lot more different to convicting someone. Yeah, we are called to convince people, but it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict. Now, we're really bad at, we shouldn't even be doing it. It's not our call. Yes, we convince, and the Holy Spirit moves in what we say. And if you've got passport into some person's life and you know you're called, then you can have that conversation. I really believe it's always in the context of relationship and love. Serve each other, but be patient with each other. Number four, forgive each other. Colossians 3 verse 13, you must make allowance for each other's faults. It says exactly the same thing in a different place in the Bible. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. It doesn't say leave the church of the person who offends you. You guys are real quiet. You guys were really loud last. Thank you, Becky. Forgive the person who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. It doesn't say might or perhaps. You must forgive others. And, you know, I'm not I'm not making light of this. This is a real heavy-duty thing. And we can only sort of imagine sometimes the wrong and the hurt that other people do against other people. So it's the pain and the brokenness that comes as a result of being the recipient of someone else's sin is soul-destroying. And it's difficult, but it's not impossible. And why do I know that? Because the Bible says, with God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible. So yeah, maybe in our humanity, it's impossible to work through that journey of forgiveness, but with God, it's absolutely possible. And to find freedom and hope. Forgiveness, forgiving someone is never about saying that what they did was right. It's never saying there's no consequences, because there needs to be consequences a lot of the time. But it's actually freeing yourself. And it is possible with God. And when you think about reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation between races and cultures, and it's a big, big deal. And we need to think through that and pray through that and understand reconciliation well, because reconciliation, really, forgiveness is a lot, especially in the climate of this world as we are. But I reckon because we've got God on the inside and we can do this well, that we should be world leaders in reconciliation, that the church actually can carry that mandate well. And wouldn't it be amazing if then the world started looking at the church because we did it so well, and we would be such a light to the world that they would say, we need to learn from you how to do reconciliation. I can't wait for that day. You know, some Christians are doing it well, others not so much, but let's all learn. Reconciliation is absolutely 100% on the heart of God. Forgive each other. Number five, pray for each other. James 5 verse 16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and wonderful results. Note that it says there, pray for each other. It doesn't say talk about each other. And it is so easy to talk about people, isn't it? Especially if you're married or if you're close to someone and you've had a bad day and you just need to sort of debrief with someone. It's like, oh, this person, rah, 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 and they did this, and it's just like, do we ever feel any better at the end of the day once we've done that? We've just offloaded onto someone about how miserable we are because of someone else. The Bible actually doesn't say talk about others. The Bible does absolutely say pray for them. And I'm as guilty as everyone else with this. And I pray throughout all of this that no one feels convicted. All of us feel convicted, but none of us feel condemned. But because we're all in the same boat, because we're humans. But for myself, I'm because I'm open, hopefully, to the Holy Spirit working in my life, and I want to be more Christ-like than I was yesterday or last year. I'm finding now that I stop myself a little quicker, and I'm just thinking, Simon, is what you're saying right now helpful? Can you actually manage this situation in a different way? And it's like, just starting to pray, stopping doing dumb stuff and just actually starting to pray for people, and that praying that God would work on my heart a lot better. And again, not pointing the finger, but looking internally and wanting to be more like Jesus. Pray for each other. And it doesn't have to be a long-winded, crazy religious prayer. Normally it's like, God, I'm really frustrated at that person. I don't know what's going on, but please, you love them. Do something in their lives. I leave this with you. Help my hurt right now. You don't even have to say it out loud. It's just a quick prayer. God sees He sees our heart. It's just giving him room to actually start to work in our lives. Number six, carry each other's burdens. Galatians 6 verse 2 says, share each other's troubles and problems. Other translations literally say, carry each other's burdens. So share each other's troubles and problems, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. And we all want to be obedient to Jesus in our lives and follow his way for our lives. And this is one huge way we can do that, is to carry one another's problems. Again, it's so easy to say, oh, that's really dumb about what you've just said. And I'm praying for you. But I think maybe sometimes what is better that we actually start to share each other's troubles and burdens and obey Jesus. It's what it says. And how do we do this? It's like a few weeks ago, we wanted to get the piano up on stage, and it's just so amazing having a piano now with our... But man, it was heavy. I can't imagine how they carry grand pianos around the place. You'd kill yourself. But, you know, it was one... I tried to sort of lift one end of that the other week, and I mean, I could have done it, and I tried to do it, and maybe a little bit, but I would have wrecked my back, and I think I grabbed Jasher, or was it Michael or someone, and we could sort it, but no, we would have damaged ourselves. But then we got, there was Steve and Christy, and I think about five of us, and we actually did it quite well and comfortably. None of us wrecked ourselves getting the piano from there up the stairs over here. It was still a bit of a mission, but we were able to carry the piano well. Why? Because there were many of us carrying that piano. Now, you just replace piano with someone's struggle, with someone's issue, with someone's trial in their lives, and then we absolutely get such a beautiful picture how we do this practically as Christians, carrying one another's burdens. And this is why connect groups, being involved in those smaller community groups in our church, is absolutely so important, because you need to carry someone's burdens, you actually need to know what their burdens are. So we were never meant to do this Christian life alone. But being a part of a connect group, a small group, whatever that looks like, it means that you are aware when someone needs a helping hand. And a few of you can actually help carry other people's burdens. We were never meant to carry our own burdens alone. Never were we meant to do that. Christianity is all about community. It's all about loving each other and serving each other. And you know, you can help do that in a smaller group, but then, and I can guarantee this will happen to you, there will be a time in your life where you will need someone to help carry the burden that you're struggling with. And then you'll have people that can come around you, and they know you, and they love you, and they want to serve you. And we'll be able to carry each other's burdens powerfully and effectively. So if you're here this morning, or you're listening to this, and if you're not involved in a connect group, it's so important to be involved in that closer knit part of the church. So carry each other's burdens. Number seven, care for each other. We've only got like three more to go, guys. Care for each other. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25. This makes for harmony among the members, talking about church, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Care for each other. And again, we do that in connect groups in the wider church community here as Renew Church. Church is never just what we do on a Sunday morning. It's just a small part of it. It's what we do here, because larger gatherings are important, but smaller gatherings, getting involved in community, serving one another, it's all a huge part of it. But we are to care for each other. And I'm starting to think, yeah, we call this church. It's a gathering of believers, but church is global. It's all of God's children globally as well. So how do we care? And we should, because it's what the Bible teaches. We need to actually give thought as to how do we care for our brothers and sisters in other places in the world. How do we care for our Christian brothers and sisters right now, going through the craziness over in America, going through the craziness in other places? That's why, you know, we want to explore a partnership with Open Doors Ministry. Open Doors is an amazing ministry which really educates the church and helps the church into how to be effective to our Christian brothers and sisters that are in countries that are persecuted. And we really don't understand anything to do with persecution here, really, compared to other people that, you know, their lives are in danger every year because of persecution. So we really want to look at that, but that's all a part of caring for our brothers and sisters. I think a big part of it is education, actually. It's just starting to learn. Now, Christy is so compassionate, and she's got such a heart for empathy, so she will actually say, Simon, you got to watch this, and it's like, it's really heartbreaking. It's like, I don't want to watch something that's real and it's heartbreaking. With the George Floyd, I actually haven't seen the footage, because it's not because I'm callous, it's just because it breaks my heart. And then once you are aware of something, then you're responsible. So there's a part of me that, no, I just want to watch fantasy, and I just want to, you know, forget all the crazy stuff. But that's not really, you know, putting our head in the sand is never going to, you know, you're not going to show or shine your light of Jesus in this world doing that. So there is an absolute place for us to learn and be committed and to educate and to listen. Because we are called to call, we're called to care for people here in our church whānau, in this city locally, and our Christian brothers and sisters in the world as well. So care for each other. Number 8, encourage each other. Hebrews 10, verse 24. Think of ways to encourage one another to outbursts of love and good deeds. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming back again is drawing near. When was the last time I thought about a creative way to encourage someone? First of all, it's just actually having the time in our day to think about that and you know, allowing the Holy Spirit to, and he will, you know, it's, if we ask God to do this, then he will put people on our hearts. And in our day and age of social media, it's actually really easy to just send someone a message or a text and just, hey, buddy, you know, I'm just thinking about you, I'm praying for you. And actually, when you say you're praying for someone, do pray for them. Don't just say, yeah, I'm praying for them and forget about it. But that's really bad. It's lying. So don't do that. But just encourage people. And it's actually easy to do that. We've just got to take the time to make it a priority in our lives. Encourage each other, which simply means to give courage to each other. A courageous person is someone who is afraid, is timid, but they do it anyway. And each of us, we've got the ministry, or we can, of encouraging, of actually giving courage to one another. And it doesn't take a lot. When next time you're thinking about something, like this morning, man, Stephen, you did great at the sound. Actually, just don't think it. Verbalize it. Say it. And actually learn to receive compliments and encouragement well. Next time someone compliments you, don't say, oh, no, sorry, no. Say, thank you, I really appreciate that. You know, you're not being arrogant if you receive a compliment. Well, you're just being nice and decent and mature. So encourage each other. Think of ways to encourage one another to outbursts of love and good deeds. What does an outburst of love look like? That would be awesome. And I think, again, this is an incredible thing about the church that says don't neglect the gathering together. We've got to meet together. The lockdown was okay. We did the best of what we could. But really, we got to meet together in person for this incredible ministry of encouragement that all of us can be a part of. You know, what we do up on stage, we've got the worship, we've got the ministry, we've got the preaching, which is all valid, but there is another huge part of why it is so important to gather together, and it involves all of us, and that is we can actually, before the service and after the service, and around coffee, we can encourage each other, we can bless each other, we can minister to each other. All of us can do that. Isn't that amazing? That's why they reckon Connect spaces should be the size of your auditorium. We sort of got in the same room at the moment. That's why they give a lot of time to like with coffee. I mean, I haven't drunk in coffee almost in 1 year. I reckon the stuff's disgusting now. I like soy hot chocolates, but you know it's a really acquired taste. But anyway, that's part of our culture, fellowship culture. Why did I talk about coffee? It's the second service. I'm a little bit tired. But it's just so important. And all of us can do that. We can be a part of encouraging another person every time we meet together. And that is so powerful. You know, people may not remember messages, but I guarantee all of us can remember when someone else has really encouraged us. It's really, really powerful. Number 9, honor each other. Romans 12 verse 10, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Honoring is an economic term and it simply means understanding the value of something and placing the highest price on that thing. It's like antique roadshow when someone says, oh, this vase is worth like $5, but the person who knows how much it is says, actually, it's worth $5,000. And they think, wow, this is incredible. Now, every single one of us, every single human being is so valued, is so precious, is so important. And to really value someone actually means you understand that. And you understand that they're not worth like a $5, they're worth $1 million. And to treat them like that, to honor each other, is so important. And lastly, to listen to each other. James 1 verse 19, understand this. My dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Understand this. So this is important for us to understand. You must be all quick to listen. We got to listen to each other. It's so important. How do we love people well? We have got to listen to them. And I don't mean, you know, you're listening to someone, but you're not really listening because you disagree with them. And while they're listening, you're not listening because you're actually thinking about what to say to them in response to what they're saying, that you aren't actually listening properly to them anyway. You just want to get your point across and you want to be right. That is not listening. Listening is actually valuing and honoring someone enough that you give them your full attention. And you're not slow to rebuke or rebut. You got to listen to them. And I love this phrase, seek to understand before you are understood. Because so often we jump to conclusions and we jump to the wrong conclusion. And everyone acts and behaves a certain way because of something in their life. It's a response to brokenness and hurt and their experiences. And the only way we're going to truly empathize and truly connect with people and truly be compassionate for them is if we listen to their stories. And we understand them first before we seek to try and prove our point. So I'm catching myself and I'm just thinking, Simon, you just listen right now and understand and learn. How do we genuinely love each other? Doing this by listening. And was it Monday, Queen's birthday, we had the morning off and I listened to Carl Lentz. He's an incredible young pastor in Hillsong, LA, and he was interviewing T.D. Jakes. And T.D. Jakes, he's an African-American pastor. He is just amazing. Just every word he says is just full of power and full of wisdom. But Carl Lentz was doing this, and it was on their live stream, and he just, I want to know, I need to listen, I need to learn your point of view. I want my heart to grow, I want to be compassionate, I want to understand the situation of racism in America. So he just let T.D. Jakes tell his story, and I was moved almost to tears when T.D. Jakes was talking about how his granddad was murdered by slave traders. This is how close to home so much of this is happening. This is how under the surface, it's just there. And as Carl was learning, I was learning, and I'm just asking so much questions now. Because other people's experience in life and their hurt and brokenness, it may not be your experience. And the only way we're going to learn is if we listen. Now, I'm a skinny white boy. I'm not that skinny anymore. I was a lot skinnier once upon a time. And I grew up in West Auckland. And I grew up in a pretty privileged house. And I've had a great upbringing. And I had great parents. And we went to church. And I love all that. But there are so many people that have had so much brokenness and so much hurt and so much prejudice in their lives. And so much anger that's boiled up, there is always a reason why people react. And we need to understand, and we need to listen, and we need to be so slow to judge. So God's called us to love each other, and that is a big part of it, just to listen. So in conclusion, John 13, verse 34 to 35, this is what Jesus says, and now I'm giving you a new commandment, which would absolutely have freaked all the religious leaders because they just loved the commandments of the Old Testament. And Jesus is saying, actually, I've got a new one for you. Love each other. Simple. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. How will we prove to the world that Jesus loves them, that Jesus is real, that we follow Jesus, that Jesus is worth surrendering your whole life to? Do we do amazing programs? I guess that's a part of it. Do we build great buildings of excellence and do things that are great? Well, I guess that's a little part of it. But none of those things. Jesus was very, very clear. How will the world know that he's real, that we love him, that we are his followers? Simple. Love one another. That's it. Love one another. And an extremely huge challenge for me, and I do pray that's a challenge for you as well, this next thing I'm about to say, again, without any condemnation, but as a challenge, we will never be able to love the world well if we don't love each other well. We don't have to agree with someone to love them, But it starts with us. In 1 Peter, it says actually that all of this begins in the house of God first, learning to love one another well. And we got to be good at that, guys. That's what we're called to love each other and then to love the world, because Jesus came because the Father loved the world so much. He sent his Son. So just a couple of things to real finish up. I'm almost out of time. You don't have to agree with someone to love them. We've got to learn to be okay with disagreement a lot more. And I'm still working on that because I'm black and white and I'm quietly opinionated. But I'm giving up the right to think, I got to prove my point. I've got to be right. It's like, I don't actually need to. I've got a blog for that. No, just kidding. You don't have to agree with someone to love them. Jesus, this is the second one. Jesus treated all people with respect and dignity because all people are made in the image of God. All people. Yeah, there are people that are hurting and they're broken and their beliefs and their actions and behaviors is not good, but they're still made in the image of God. And Jesus treated all people with dignity and respect and honor, and so should we. And lastly, community mission, I think, is this, when it becomes really powerful, is one person loving one person. One person loving another person. And we can have great church programs, and hopefully we're working on that as a church, and we're doing that better than we did. But at the end of the day, because we all rub shoulders with humanity all the time, there will be opportunities for every single one of us to actually show and demonstrate the love of God to another person.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope it was an encouragement to you. To contact us or to find out what's happening at our church, please check out our website, renewchurch.nz.